It's time to prepare the bride. It's time to be holy and purified. Time for her flight.
Shalom. This is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy with the Remnant Mama Show, where we are living and learning a restoration lifestyle here on the Hebrew Nation Radio. Today, in preparation for the Shebrews Conference, sponsored by Hebrew Nations Radio, to be held on August 19, 20, and 21st at Canby Grove, I will be taking a break from teaching on Shemen, therapeutic essential oils, to introduce the principle of Torah living in regards to wearing linen, or sheish in Hebrew, and how it relates to preparing the bride, the remnant of Israel. So this will be sheish teaching number one, and the following will be an excerpt from a teaching that I did earlier in the year, and I apologize for the lack of sound quality, but I hope you will get some insights and begin to understand the revelation of wearing linen for the bride and how it relates to the Living Stones Tabernacle. And now I will begin to play that clip.
Our topic is going to be light linen and oil, probably going to be primarily on linen, which we could do several shows on, and we will be doing teachings in the future, going in depth on all these topics, and we'll have, I know that Batya has levislinen.com, and Posey Salem has seektheancientpath.com, and they're into different avenues of linen and oil, and different kind of lifestyle preparedness, how to prepare your food and return to an agricultural type of lifestyle or life. Raw foods, etc., for your family. And it's just all about restoring knowledge and restoring the skills so that we can live healthy in accordance to Yahweh's word. So that's what we're trying to focus on in the callings that we have had and where Father's been training us through the years. And all, you know, none of us are experts. We're just willing and we want to share it with others. First, I just wanted to start the show on just some words that I want to share with you. What I'm going to present tonight, especially if you're in the Messianic community, the Hebrew Roots community, you might have a little issue with this. But I believe that most people in those communities, they understand, and Father's been enlightening them and showing them that this isn't his word. Because as we learn and study his word more and more, precept upon precept, line upon line, we begin to see things that we didn't see or notice before. And in fact, Batya, and actually the way that she and I met was over the issue of linen that Father had showed her, I think it was a year ago, Passover a year ago, about linen. And I had been researching and writing and had this revelation about Father wanting us to wear linen since winter of 2007, I believe it was. And so through different things that I've written and shared with different people, through a friend, they told her to contact me. And so that's how we met. And then we became friends and we just been sharing and having that common goal, making linen, trying to restore it, tried to teach others about how important it is. And we've been doing a lot of research and experimentation. Rita Mockamer, who's down in Florida, was very instrumental and a pivotal overcoming of an obstacle for me to begin actually sewing linen. And we'll have her on some future shows and podcasts about how actually to go about sewing and doing things like that. She can make beautiful garments also. And there's been several others. I mean, there's several in the Southeast, there's some overseas in foreign countries that have all gotten this revelation in the last few years about linen. And as we get more information on reading Torah, we've also been getting more scientific information and an understanding of frequency, light, energy. And so when we deal with oil, for instance, we're dealing with frequency. When we deal with the Word of God in Genesis 1:1, it's frequency, it's energy. The original Hebrew pure language and the Word of God in that original language was created. All things were created through that energy, through that frequency that fluttered over the darkness, over the waters when he said, let there be light. And so this is one of the reasons why we want to return the linen. Number one, because Father said so, and that will be my goal when I finish my book, is to show that to you. And two, because he wants us to be healthy, and he wants us to reflect his light. And that's what linen does. It reflects light. And we're going to talk about a lot of different angles of that, hopefully, as we go through the program. So I want to say also that we are not going to, please listen and hear me. Let me address the Christians. The Christians, Hebrew Roots, Messianic, what really matters here is that we are in covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is about being the bride. The bride wants dressed the way that is pleasing to her groom. She wants to know what his eating habits are, what he likes, what he dislikes, when his appointment days are, which we call his feast or his moedim. And so this is really about his light, his energy, in the sense of he is the light of the world. He created all things. And he wants to dwell in us, and he wants us to be clean, living stone vessels. And this is what this is really about. And so I do not want you to misunderstand me, though, when I talk about this. It's not about condemnation if you're not wearing linen. I mean, a lot of us who have this revelation, we don't wear linen all the time. That is a goal. That is something that we're learning. There's things that we have to learn. There's things that we have to unlearn. But we understand that it's a truth that's in the scriptures, that is something to strive for, something to work through, so that we are clothing the living stone tabernacle, because the Mishkan, the wilderness tabernacle, is the pattern and the type for his people who are his living stone tabernacle that he is going to indwell. And we see from Genesis to Revelation, when we get to the end, that that is his end goal. And I believe that was his original intent, that his light and his glory was shown through Adam and Eve, and they were clothed in that light and that glory. But then when they fell, they became naked, and we'll get into the words. There's all kinds of stuff, and this really is so much well done, more when you have a overhead or a chalkboard or something in sense that you can be writing to show, even in the original pictographic ancient Hebrew, you can see the picture of what I'm talking about. And so I don't expect you to see a lot of the things that I say, and I don't expect you to accept it. I'm just trying to share with you that I charge you to start to begin to research and study and see that it, you know, that it is or isn't true. And if you especially look at the Hebrew and the ancient Hebrew, you will see it even in the pictures of the words. So it's quite fascinating, and just, you know, it's just opening a whole world, like, oh, I see it now. And so when I talk about wearing linen, and I really truly do believe this, that it is a mitzvah, it is a law, it is a instruction, and even actually the scriptures say that, and it is, but I'm not saying that for condemnation. You know, think and consider, now that a lot, for the last 10, 20 years, a lot of us have been returning to the Old Testament, returning to the foundation of the root of our faith, and taking the New Testament or the renewed covenant and placing it aside just temporarily so that we can go back and look at the foundation, look at the whole Torah, look at the Tanakh, the whole Old Testament, and that is our foundation of building the house. That's the foundation of our faith. And when we understand the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and we understand the rest of the Old Testament and the prophets, then when we get to the new renewed covenant, now they make sense. Now when we're reading, we can go, oh, I remember that. That's from the prophet, or that's from Torah. And now I can put the roof, which, you know, the way I look at the renewed covenant, back on the house, but I got to put it on the foundation. And what we have done in Christianity and in the faith is we have just thrown away the Old Testament, and we've thrown away the foundation, we've thrown away the walls, and we're just looking at the top of the house. And Father's wanting to, you know, he's knocked that house down. He's trying to rebuild it. And on both ends of the spectrum, with Christianity and Jewish messianics, you know, they both can get really wide and into their own religious spirits and into pagan idolatry of sorts. And what Father's trying to do is pull us back into the narrow path, say, you know, look at my word. I'll teach you. Sit down. Dig your own well. I've got the Holy Spirit. I've got a set-apart spirit. I've called you out. I'm calling you out. And like an onion, when you peel out the sides and the back, you know, you're not going to be perfectly at the core of the onion. He's going to keep pulling back. As you're faithful in what little bit he shows you and you start walking in it, he's going to keep showing you more and more and more. And so think about, if you're reading about the feast, for instance, we just have Passover and getting ready for Shavuot, Pentecost. We are commanded, at least the men are, to go up to Jerusalem every year and worship. Well, because we're in captivity and we're dispersed amongst the nations, the believers of the world, we can't just go up. I mean, it's not even financially possible. And in a lot of cases, we can't live there because we believe in Yeshua, you know, and we have to prove, you know, that we're Jewish, not necessarily Israelite, which that's a whole other show that we've talked about. But we have to realize that we need to return. We need to return to Him. And we can't do everything, because wake up, people, and realize that we are in captivity. We are amongst the nations. We are under the rule of Pharaoh. Yahweh, Yahuwah, God, Elohim, He has not come to deliver and restore His kingdom and His people yet. That's the restoration of all things. That's what the gospel is about. This is what you're going to be hearing and seeing growing more and more. It's been growing for the last 10, 20 years, but it's just been mushrooming the last 3 to 5 years, that the message is, yes, we're saved by the covenant. Yes, we're saved by Yahushua, Jesus, but it's about the restoration of the kingdom and the regathering of His people to live as His bride, so that He might dwell within her, and that is going to be the ultimate living stone tabernacle. So just as we can't go up to Jerusalem the 3 times a year for Passover, Shavuot, first fruits actually, and the Feast of First Fruits, or Unleavened Bread, and there's a lot of obstacles to overcome. But just because it's expensive, which it actually really isn't compared to the regular nasty cloth they have in the stores that isn't pure garment like He commands us to, but actually if you get to hunting, it's not that expensive. But the thing is that, yeah, you're going to have to undo your wardrobe. You're going to have to work a little bit at a time. You're going to be able to find really good deals at the thrift stores, but we're going to talk about that too, and the difference between a real 100% garment and not. But as we are looking for and wanting to return to this, it doesn't change the truth. The truth is, the wedding garment in the New Testament, it's the book of Matthew, the wedding garment, when they got to the wedding supper, was linen. And I know you might say, well, how do you know that?
We'll talk about how we know that right after this short commercial.
Grinding wheat and storing food.
Those in covenant with Yahweh are the Living Stones Tabernacle. The instructions for the Wilderness Tabernacle called for the Holy of Holies to have shesh, or linen curtains that reflect light. Thus Yahweh's people were dressed in linen, as they were called to reflect His light to the nations. Solomon built a house for Yahuwah, lining the walls with cedar wood and the floors with cypress. Did you know the essential oils of cedar wood and cypress are some of the least expensive? Yet they are some of the most powerful and pleasing to our Heavenly Father, as their aroma filled the tabernacle. Cedarwood has been used to clear the mind, to help focus, and when praying or meditating on Scripture. It's been suggested to help prevent Alzheimer's, aid arthritis, and repel mosquitoes. Cypress is known to help control bleeding, purify the inhalation. Their aromas are known to soothe the nerves, promoting a good night's sleep. Both have been used to assist the respiratory system. Go to the Hebrew Nation radio store and click on Remnant Remedy for more information about cedarwood and cypress and how they might support the walls and foundation of your Living Stones Tabernacle.
Rise up, my bride, get ready to go.
Welcome back. We will continue the excerpt from the teaching on how we know that the garment in Matthew, the wedding garment, is made of linen.
I used to always wonder about that when I read that in Christianity. And then several years ago, because of different things that I put in the first few chapters of the book I'm writing, there were different things that happened. Well, someone had posted something about linen, which I want to give credit to her. Her name is Rochelle Zipporah. I think her name is her website is Zipporah's Thimble, or Rochelle Zipporah. And she has been making beautiful linen garments for several years now. But what happened was, I was reading and researching the scriptures, mostly in energy and Him being the light of the world, etc. And I was dealing with oils. I was beginning to understand frequencies and how the spoken word between the Hebrew and the frequency oils, etc. I began to study linen because I had read something that someone had written about the qualities and properties of linen. And as a backup, we used to do Al-Shaddai Ministries in Florida, and then we have moved up here to Northwest Montana to prepare, and because that's where Father's called us, and we believe in the days to come it's going to be a place where many more people are going to be coming, and they are coming, already have been. But what happened was, because I'm up here in the Northwest now, sometimes, especially different times of the year, I get so much static electricity built up in me that when I get out of my car, every single time I get out of my car, I get electrocuted when I go to touch something. And so when I was reading this thing about linen, and it said that it reduced static, well, I was like, whoa, I got to check this out. And there were other things that Father had been dealing with me in the past over what and how does his bride prepare physically, not just spiritually? What is she to wear? How is she to dress? What does that look like? And so it really got my attention, and that's when I started discovering and reading about linen and got a revelation that, oh my goodness, the garment was supposed to be linen, white linen, and that's what Father wanted to show me. And then I just began studying and then immersing in that, and Father spoke to me and said, I want you to give this message. And I had my own struggles with that, people. I'm telling you, it's not easy to wake up one day and realize you're supposed to be walking around in white linen. And I'm not saying you have to walk in it all the time. It is the wedding dress. There's other colors of linen. We're going to get into those topics later, probably not in this show. But I had to deal with it myself, you know, before, you know, you're already set apart. You're already act different. You already look different. And then somebody, you know, wants to target you with a bullseye. It's not real easy to overcome some of these things. And I look back on it now and think how stupid and foolish it was. I mean, are we not willing to be set apart? Are we not willing as believers in him to look like, I mean, when somebody looks at us and goes, they are in covenant with Yahweh, okay? Now, obviously, you cannot dress a whore in white linen and get a virgin or a dedicated betrothed bride, okay? Don't get me wrong here. But if you're dedicated and you love him and you want to serve him, you want to look and behave and walk in a manner that represents the house that you belong to, the husband that you belong to. And so there is a certain way he wants his bride to look and act and behave. And that's not, we're going to be all cookie cutters either, too. You know, don't go spiritual, religious spirit on me here, people. Stay with the program, please. I'm challenging you. You will find this if you'll take the time to study every word on this topic throughout the scriptures. So I don't want you to feel like I'm condemning you if you don't walk this out. Those of us who are getting this understanding, getting this calling to help restore the learning and the living of Torah and the health benefits that Father wants to give his people through linen, we do not all wear linen all the time. I mean, maybe there's a few of us that do, but, you know, I have to deal with different seasons of the year. I'm still trying to work on getting clothing, more thick linen clothing, et cetera. That's how they did it in the Pilgrims' times, the Puritans in Europe, et cetera, as they wear it in Russia. I mean, but we don't all, you know, none of us are perfect. We're all working, but it does not change the truth and the blessing that Father will give us if we begin to start walking towards this direction of trying to understand and restore. Why do we need to learn to sew a pure 100% linen garment or a pure 100% wool garment, for that matter? Once we understand Torah and that Father's given us instructions because he loves us and he wants to bless us, well, then we start looking at, you know, what can we do and how do we go about doing it? It doesn't change the truth. What it should do is cause us to long to work towards that and work in that direction. We could go into a whole show just on how unhealthy synthetic fabric is for you, how unhealthy, you know, the fibers they put in. We could go into the chips and the, you know, supposedly the micro tracking, et cetera, they want to do with the garments. We could talk about all kinds of things, but we'll skip over those for today. And so this is a learning process that we learn precept upon precept. We're trying to learn this. And that is just where I want to ask you, please listen in your spirit. And if you don't understand it or you think it's total hogwash, you know, go back to the Father, pray about it and ask him, you know, show me, what is it you want me to see here? One of the first things I want to try to do tonight is go through some verses to show you some of the examples that this mitzvah or this commandment or this principle or this instruction is throughout the scriptures, number one. When we get a chance, hopefully we're going to talk about flax and maybe some of its properties, you know, that it reflects light, energy. You know, flax think about it. Flax is not just good to wear. Flax is actually, the flax of seed is actually very good for you to eat. And in both cases, you have light and energy and live food on the inside to help heal the body, restore the body. And on the outside, you have linen that reflects light and has its own properties. Remember, the Kohen used linen to wrap and to help heal. And so when we also do oils, now we've learned that our bandaging, our clothing, our bedding benefits us if it's in linen instead of using some of the other materials that we would have used because we're trying to restore the ancient past. What we might hopefully get into, maybe not this show, but we're going to talk about how do you sew linen? How do you get 100% linen thread? Is that necessary? Is it necessary all the time? That's a whole other category. Maybe talk about how to take care of your linen. What are the other uses of linen? Linen, to me, is far superior to cheesecloth or muslin cloth. If you're making cheese, and we've talked about this in the last few shows, if you're making cheese, if you're sprouting seeds, if you're making soap and you want to filter your tallow, you know, linen is an excellent product. I put the linen over the top of my kefir, and let it breathe instead of using some of the other things. And I can wash it, I could reuse it. And so the first thing I want to start with is I wanted to go with some verses and some examples in the scriptures. I actually want to skip all the way to the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, there's a statement in Revelation 19:8 about linen. And in Revelation 19:8, if you could go there and mark your scriptures, I encourage you to do this. And it says in Revelation 19:8, and to her, referring to the bride, was granted that she would be arrayed with fine linen and clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now, I want to pull that up on the eSword in Revelation 19:8, and we're going to go to the word righteousness there. And, of course, the New Testament, most of us have been taught and trained that it was written in Greek, and in reality, it was probably mostly written in Hebrew, and they've been finding bits and pieces of it, and then it was translated to the Greek. So we're going to work with the Greek here because that's where most of our study tools come from. So Revelation 19:8, the word there for righteousness. Now, remember, what it's saying here is that the righteousness of the saint, and let's get this Hebrew concept, the saints are those that belong in covenant, the believers to Yahweh, Yahuwah, Elohim, God, that are in covenant. These are the believers. This is what the Christians call the church. This is the assembly. This is the congregation of Israel, because once you're grafted in and you come into the covenant, he calls his bride Israel. The church is a Greek word that was introduced in the New Testament, but it links back to the congregation, the assembly of Israel, because once you're grafted in, you become a citizen of the nation of Israel, which is a family. Okay, so we're looking at this word righteousness, and I'm not sure that I'm pronouncing it correctly, but according to the Strong's, the word is dikaioma, and it means an equitable deed, a statute, a judgment, an ordinance, or righteousness or justification. So let's take the word ordinance or statute and reread that sentence. And to her, the bride, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, which in linen is shesh, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness or the instructions or the statute of the believers of Israel. Okay? So right there, it's telling us in the end of this story, which so far the end of this story, we have this great creation to the restoration of all things. Some people call heaven, or I prefer to call it the kingdom. We're talking about the bride is to wear white linen. And so therefore, from the end picture here of this return when he's gathered with his bride, this is a mitzvah, a principle, an instruction. It's also a word that's used, it's translated as righteousness. Another word that's used as righteousness is zedek, which is, you know, kind of goes back to a lot of different teachings, but it has to do with the branch, the righteous one. Yeshua, of course, is that branch, is that righteous one. And when you obey God's laws, when you obey his Torah, then you are blessed with life more abundant. And, of course, we've been taught that we don't have to do that. But nowhere in Scripture does it say that we no longer do his Torah. If we could kind of get out of our mind just for a minute that Torah is not just a law, but even if it was, what's wrong with God's laws? I mean, they're there for a purpose. He's the creator. Doesn't he have the right to tell us what to do? Does he not have the right to say, this is what I want?
We're out of time again today, so please, I hope that you will come back with us again next Monday as I will continue on the topic of shesh or linen as the wedding garment, as we will get more into the word and see examples of the linen garment being given to Yahweh's people or his bride when he exalts them or is calling them to him. I hope that you will join me and all the other great speakers that will be at the Shebrews Women's Conference on August the 19th through the 21st at Canby Grove Conference Center in Oregon, sponsored by the Hebrew Nation radio station. I will be there to teach on the Living Stones Tabernacle as it relates to restoring the lost treasures of Israel regarding shemen, essential oils, and shesh, linen. We need to see that the pattern for our lives and practical living are revealed to us in the Torah as we realize that we are the Living Stones Tabernacle. If you haven't registered yet, be sure to go to www.shebrewconference.com or call Cindy at 503-316-1220. Shalom. Let your garments be always white, and let your head lack no shimmer.